Hello and welcome back. Today we're going through 13 different ways you can build muscle and lose fat without feeling like you're on a diet. I've spoken about this quite a bit in my recent content about how much I struggled with peak week with my WBFF bodybuilding show, and I'm not someone who goes well when there's food rules. So as soon as I try to cut carbs, I'd be like up at midnight eating bread, when like I would never do that when I'm just eating normal with no rules kind of thing. And if you say like, oh, I can't have chocolate, then I'll just like go and scoff my face with chocolate. But in day-to-day life, I'm just so much more controlled. Like if you feel like you can have anything at any time, it takes away the specialness of it, so you just eat normal. And that's the whole concept why I love intuitive eating as well. So today's video idea came from a free ebook that I made at the start of the year. I think it was around the time of the show. If you want access to the full PDF that you can download onto your computer or phone and access at any time, then head to the description below. It's absolutely free, and then you can refer back to it whenever you like as well. So I'll be expanding on all the points from that body recomp handbook. Now, what is body recomp? It is the process of building muscle and losing fat to improve your physique. Now, quite a few people say they want to lose weight without building muscle. And I did some promotions recently for my Plant Powered app, which is something I created just to have easy recipes on hand with minimal cooking time, minimal dishes, minimal ingredients. And I was sharing it to my Instagram stories and someone replied, oh, well, I don't want to build muscle, so can the app still be for me? And what I want to touch on is if you don't have the, people want the toned look. So if you don't have the undertone of muscle, if you lose the weight, you actually have no shape to your body. You won't have a round glutes. You won't have shape to your arms. It will just be straight and skinny. And they refer to that term as skinny fat. So building muscle was actually quite hard, especially for women, and especially if you're not on PEDs as well. So building muscle requires consistency over years and years, and you requires you to be hitting your calorie targets, your protein targets, proper recovery, progressive overload in the gym. There's so much that goes into it to actually build muscle, and then the process of losing fat so that you've got the shape underneath when it all gets unraveled. So that's basically what body recomp is. Before we get started, don't forget you can connect with me on Instagram or TikTok as well at Cassie Amber Wellness. And I post pretty much daily over there sharing more tips and tricks or sharing things about my journey with building my own physique and different things about nutrition and wellness and natural living as well. And debunking diet myths. A little bit about why I made this switch to a plant-based approach. So originally it was for digestion and bloating issues. I watched all the documentaries and I cured all my health issues through food alone, and I was in hospital and never got asked about, are you allergic to dairy, are you sensitive to gluten, things like that. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, because we can literally change our whole experience on earth just through food and finding what works for you. There's also a lot of conflicting information online when it comes to plant-based diets or vegan diets and bodybuilding or building the physique of your dreams. That's a big part of the reason I love it, is just to prove that it is possible. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put some before and afters up as well, just so you can see that this was all done on a plant-based diet. So people go to their PTs saying that they want to make the switch, and then the PTs often say, oh no, you're going to lose your gains, it's going to be a waste of time, you're going to go backwards, you're going to lose your muscle, it's like you're not going to make the gains in the gym compared to if you were eating meat. And it is absolutely not true, and I feel like that is part of my calling here on earth, to prove that you can do it and you can eat in alignment, you can sit down and have this meal that is aligned with your soul and just makes you feel good about what you're doing, and your physique does not have to suffer for it. It can actually be improved. And fun fact, it's actually easier to lose weight on a plant-based diet because the food is much lower in calories and higher in fiber. So you feel fuller and you just can't eat as much because you're actually so full. So your body does a gradual calorie deficit over time if you're eating more whole foods and things like that. And then you don't really have to be so strict with tracking every number, weighing everything out on the scale. Like it kind of, for a lot of people, it can just fall into place like it did with me. Before we get started, don't forget to subscribe whether you're listening on the Unleashed podcast. You can follow the show to stay up to date with future episodes. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe so you can see when new episodes are uploaded as well. Now, first up, my number one tip is progressive overload and following a training plan. When I first started at the gym, I just started doing kettlebell circuits and I was too scared to do deadlifts or hip thrusts or any of those big moves because I didn't know where to find the equipment, I didn't know how to set it up properly, and I've learned so much over the years when it comes to pushing yourself. So it's not just about lifting a heavier weight, it could be adding more reps, it could be focusing on mind-to-muscle connection and even the tempo, like slowing down the exercise, knowing what speed to do it at, and maybe doing like a pause at the top or the bottom of the exercise as well, or a little pulse, or making sure the correct muscle is actually activated. So I noticed for myself with glutes, I'll be doing some exercises and my lower back takes over the weight, so that's why that keeps growing. So I'm at the moment trying to focus on how can I warm up my glutes and activate them before a leg day by doing cable kickbacks or certain exercises, maybe with the booty band or glute kickbacks on the machine to actually activate the muscle so that when I do the heavy workout, the glute is warmed up and starts to take the weight. So that can be one way to do it. And a big mistake people often make is trying to lift as heavy as they can without actually nailing the form first or mind-to-muscle connection. And as you go further along your journey, you just get more and more used to it. Things can feel abnormal at first. I used to get nervous trying to find like the barbell hip thrust pad and people just be staring at me looking around the gym looking lost. I will recommend my friend's gym accessory business, Staple Active. I did some photo shoot promotions for her earlier in the year and I got to keep a bag and some of the ankle straps and barbell hip thrust pad and things like that, and that's just been a game changer, not having to rely on the gym's equipment, or especially if you're there at a busy time when there's nothing free, you can just come in with your own accessories and get the workout done. And they're good quality as well, so I'll put her link in the description below as well, because it's honestly just changed my confidence in the gym. And it's really important to go in with a plan. So since the show, I finished up with my coach, and I don't know if many people know you can do this, but you can actually add yourself to Trainerize as your own customer, because you can have one for free. And that just allowed me to keep track of the workouts so I can keep putting in the weights and things like that. But it's about the time now where I need to start looking for another comp prep coach and having a training program that is specific to your areas that you need to bring up. So you can go in there and instead of just lifting the same amount every time, maybe try adding a 2.5 kg to each side and try that. If you can do that, add a little bit more and just see how far you can go. And progress is always linear during the week. During the month, I mean, you're always going to have highs and lows. There'll be days you're more tired, the days you haven't fueled up properly, days you might be coming up to your time of month and you'll be obviously a bit weaker during those times. But the overall goal should be to lift heavier and heavier and increase your strength as you go. Now, another reason why it's important to build muscle is because it increases your basal metabolic rate. So say if there's two people sitting at a desk job all day, being sedentary or watching TV at nighttime, the person who does weight training and strength training with more muscle density actually burns more calories at rest than the person who does not do strength training or anything like that. So you're actually burning more calories by having more muscle. So I think it kind of flips a switch in your mind. Instead of not doing strength training and thinking, oh my God, this food is going to make me fat, which is what a lot of people think, you can switch it to, oh, this food is going to fuel me for my workout, so it's going to help my muscles recover. And it's just a different kind of mindset to switch it to more fuel in your body instead of being a negative thing. Number two is prioritizing protein. An easy way to calculate this is 1.8 to 2.2 grams of protein per kg of body weight. Now, as an example, for someone my size, I'm 1.57 meters and weigh around 57. So my goal would be around 102 to 125 grams of protein a day. This is actually a little bit hard to achieve, I'll say. So it actually requires a little bit of planning to keep it up and actually meet your daily targets. A few ways you can do this is adding protein powder to your smoothies or to homemade pancakes or different baking mixes. You can incorporate mock meat or seitan, beans and legumes, or tofu or tempeh to your meals. And soy products are really great as well, like especially if you're comparing it to being deep in the cut of your prep. Soy is excellent for protein because it's on par with cow's milk. So almond milk and oat milk and all of those ones, they don't have protein. Coconut doesn't have protein. But soy milk has 8 grams of protein per serve. So that's the only one that's on par with cow's milk for that aspect of the nutritional side. So if you're deep in the cut and every calorie counts kind of thing, or every meal matters, you're trying to optimize it the best you can, it's better to have a coffee with soy milk to get that extra bit compared to like an oat milk latte. I've always had soy, and now that the show is over, I've actually switched to almond milk for the first time ever, just because I like the consistency of it, and oat milk and iced coffee is to die for. But when you're in those times when you're really trying to make everything count, say having soy yogurt over oat yogurt is going to be a better choice. And the third way to increase your protein is just to simply eat enough calories. I'm one of the kinds of people who, if I'm struggling with my mental health or if I'm just deep in my workflow during the day, I honestly cannot even think what to eat. I'll go to the pantry like, oh, I don't even know what to make. It's just, I can't even make the decision kind of thing. So it's easy for me to slip into the times of not eating enough or fueling my body properly, which means I'm not recovering properly. I'm not fueling my body with enough fuel to even optimize the muscle growth. So just simply eating enough is going to help you minimize nutritional deficiencies as well, and also just have more energy to do more throughout the day and recover from the workouts and lift heavier. Something people notice in comp prep as well is when you're eating enough, like you're burning calories by just doing things like chatting to people, running errands, you're fiddling, you're up and about just doing things. And when people get right in the last stages of their prep, right before the show when calories are really low, they find that they start to talk slower, their movements are slower, you're not really getting up to do things unnecessarily because your body's trying to conserve as much energy as you can. So just eating enough calories can really, really help get that protein in. Number three is recovery. I do promo jobs once a week, working in bars, just handing out drinks and things like that, and or sometimes for events. And sometimes I get asked, literally on Saturday, I got asked by about six different people, like, oh my God, what do you do? Do you do some kind of powerlifting or bodybuilding or sport? Like, how do you get muscle like that? And I swear they all think I must gym like 6 or 7 days a week, 2 hours a day, this super intense routine. And honestly, I go about 4 times a week. I haven't been as good in the last 3 weeks because I've had a bit of fatigue and lots of mental health stuff going on. But so I've only been probably twice a week in the last 3 weeks. But starting back this week, I'm back to normal and everything's back on track. But on a good week, yeah, 4 sessions is good. 5 if you want to really, really push it. But if you're lifting heavy enough, it can even be hard to space out those with like letting those muscles recover, then doing upper body, then have like a day off because your muscles are always sore like the second day after, and then back to lower body. It's like hard to fit it all in if you're actually exercising optimally. So 4 days is honestly a decent amount of time to reach your goals. And by having enough recovery days, it actually allows our muscle to repair. It allows our body to not feel overworked or overstressed. And it's going to drop the excess inflammation and excess weight because it's not holding on to things as well. Creatine is an excellent supplement to, it basically draws the water into your muscles to give you a more plumped up look. It is one of the most researched and safe supplements out there. So just having that every day can really help with your strength as well and gives you a more filled out look. And also when it comes to recovery, I always say, it's about knowing when to rest and when to push. So if you've got an extremely busy day at work, you barely slept the night before, everything is just out the window and you're just having this hectic day. Like yes, sometimes a workout may make you feel better, just some like light exercise to move your body and kind of like get those endorphins going at the end of the day. But if it's actually one of those days where you cannot do one more thing, your energy has dropped to the floor and you're just not feeling good, going to the gym and then trying to do like a leg day is just going to feel impossible. It's going to stress your body out. And I say to people, sometimes it's better just to go home, cook a nice, healthy, nourishing meal and just have an early night. And I think that can actually be pretty much as equal as a heavy training session because you're actually allowing your body to rejuvenate, providing it with nutrients and sleep so that your body can recover and start fresh for the next day and then carry on as usual. Long-term consistency is the goal, so make sure your nutrition and fitness routine you can actually stick to. Number four is make healthy homemade alternatives to your favorite sweets or takeaways. There's lots of different things you can make. We had a homemade pizza night the other night, or quite often we've been having these delicious burgers. It does have a plant-based patty that you just pan fry and just burger bun, lettuce, vegan mayo, and we do some shoestring fries in the air fryer. But I think even just making that at home, like say pan frying the patty and doing the chips in the air fryer instead of deep frying, that's going to save you a lot of calories on, say, excess oil compared to if you just went through the drive-thru somewhere. And things with sweets, like you can buy a crappy processed slice that just hurts your stomach because it's so got so many additives and sugar. Or you can actually make a cookie dough slice that I used to make in the food truck. Had blended chickpeas with tahini, rice milk syrup, and it had protein powder in it, peanut butter, and a few other things as well. So it was just all whole foods, and when you ate it, it actually, it's high in protein, but it's so natural, it just feels so nice to digest, actually energizes you, doesn't make you feel sick, and it's that's just going to be a better choice to actually provide you with nutrients instead of making you feel sluggish for the rest of the day or throw you off track, so you then have like a soft drink and then you have something else because you've already slipped up. So next time, like, we still definitely get takeaways as well and still definitely buy unhealthy treats, but just make sure it's like a 80-20 approach or a 90-10 approach so you can make more recipes at home that are actually going to benefit your body and provide you with nutrients. Number five is monitor your daily calorie intake from liquids alone. I will not say like cut out all liquid calories because coffee is one of those. And I think a lot of people, I think they just have long blacks because it's low calorie. But if coffee is your favorite time of day and you love flat white like me, or an iced coffee, it's like your favorite thing, then just have it. It's gonna be better for your brain to wake up and have this thing that you just love so much that you treasure every sip of, then try to deprive yourself and feel miserable and end up slipping up or falling off track because you just want the one thing that like you can't have all the time. So make things fit around your absolute favorite things and keep them as staples in your diet. But examples of this could be flavor syrups in the coffee. So if you want to get an iced coffee but you really love the caramel flavoring, maybe just get the flavoring once a week to save on sugar, or like if only if it's a weekend or an extra hard day, so that the majority of the time you're just getting it with the milk and ice kind of thing. A lot of people say also to avoid smoothies because it's like a lot of liquid calories just in a drink, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because you can put so much goodness into them. You can fill it with veggies, protein powder, you can put different supplements in there, you can put nuts in there, like Brazil nuts are really great for a little daily dose of selenium as well. So it can just be a good way to actually get a whole bunch of nutrients and a drinking form that's easy to consume. So it's not about just giving up all calories, but maybe switching soft drink to kombucha as a no or low sugar option. And when it comes to your drinks and beverages, just make sure that you feel like it's actually worth it. Don't just sip away on things because they're there and have all these unnecessary calories. Make sure you actually want to have that drink instead of food. Another little tip with drinks as well is switching fruit juice to vegetable juice. So if you go in the supermarket and you look at all these processed juices, you'll be like, this immunity juice, or like this such and such juice, and it's full of like apple juice, pear juice, so high in sugar. When you're not used to it, it's so sweet, you can barely get it down, it makes you feel sick. Ugh. And you can actually switch to like a veggie juice, so have carrot is the first ingredient and then a little bit of orange to sweeten it up with, say, ginger or something like that. Or if it's a veggie juice, maybe having like kale, spinach or celery as the base, and then it might have a bit of pear or apple later on, so it's not the main ingredient, it's just used as the sweetener. That's another big tip I have to save calories or sugar consumption on juices. Number six is to be mindful of fats. I am a huge advocate for having the right kinds of fats. It's just when people have too many processed food, it's got too many extra oils embedded into the food and things like that. But the right kinds can have amazing benefits for your brain health, your hormones, your skin, and your joints as well. Fats are the most calorie dense macronutrients. So there's carbs, protein, and fats. Peanut butter is a fat source with a bit of protein, not a protein source, if that makes sense. The same as beans and legumes are a carb source with a bit of protein, not the main protein source if you're trying to have optimized physique goals. So this can make it easy to throw us over our daily calorie intake of what we need. So a few things you can do is just watch for excess oil when you're cooking. Don't just pour it in, just use a little drizzle or just what you need. Try to avoid mindless snacking on nuts and trail mix. Like, it's definitely a healthy snack. You can have a banana and trail mix for morning tea or something, but don't just scoff your face with just the trail mix. Just have like a small handful. Look out for coconut oil or margarine in baked goods as well. And during my cut, I actually found it helpful to swap out normal chocolate for dark chocolate because it wasn't as processed and it's richer, meaning you don't need to eat as much because your cravings get satisfied sooner because of how much cacao is in there. So those are just a few things you can do to be mindful of fats. Number 7 is control nighttime snacking. So a couple of examples of this could be just switching out potato chips for popcorn or something like that. Or instead of having a big dessert, maybe having, I really actually like licorice tea, which is also good for digestion, but it's got a little bit of sweetness to it. So maybe having a licorice tea and one biscuit or something instead of this big piled up dessert. And especially when it comes to packaged goods, say if you're having something, you might feel like it's one serving, but on the packet it might actually say 4 servings. So you actually need to quadruple the calories that it says it is if you're consuming one packet once. So they often just do that to trick us on marketing labels, so we think food is better than what it actually is. Number 8 is avoid going to extremes with nutrition and training. Carbs at night can help us sleep as well. I've talked about this in my content before, so there's no need to go no carb or no carbs at nighttime kind of thing. I've talked to other people in my promo jobs as well, and this man, I was trying to tell him that, and then he was like, oh yeah, well, I've been trying to have cognac noodles at night because it's low calorie, but they're like made of nothing. So he would feel awake at night lying in bed, like I did in peak week as well, and then like may overeat on other things because he can't sleep. So it's better just to have carbs in your dinner. Carbs are also our body's primary fuel source, but having them right before the gym provides us with quick acting energy. So someone that's trying to lift weights in a fasted state, like if you're just wake up and you go to the gym with having like without having anything to eat at all, then it's going to be a lot harder for your body to find the energy to push heavy weight compared to if you woke up and you just had like at least a banana, or I'll just have like an up and go when I was doing really early morning sessions, just for something in your stomach to start using as quick acting fuel. And that's going to give you a better workout so you can lift better, perform more effectively, and that will in turn improve your body recomposition. Number 9 is look out for sauces and dressings. Marinated tofu is one of my favorite things. I used to just eat it for breakfast all the time. There's actually a sweet chili tofu. I haven't seen it in the supermarket for ages. I think the brand is Blue Lotus. Having that in the air fryer for breakfast, because it's high in protein, it would keep me full until literally the mid-afternoon. But it was actually like 750 calories, which I didn't realize till I started tracking food for comp prep. But that's a lot of calories, honestly. When I was in my cut, that would be about half my daily intake worth of food, so I had to cut that out. But yeah, because of the protein, it kept me feeling full. But the only reason it was so high in calories is because of all the oils and the dressing and the sugars and things like that. So what you can do is just buy plain tofu and flavor it yourself a little bit at home. Don't coat your stir fries and sauce as well. I like to add a little bit of coconut aminos, or I love the dressings from Marianne's Kitchen. They've got really natural ingredients, like they just feel nice to digest. It's not full of crap. So I add a little touch of those to my stir fries right before I remove it from the pan. Or if I'm cooking something in the air fryer, there's a really nice one that's called sticky chili ginger. I'll just add like a touch of that on top for a bit of flavor. But don't coat your stir fries in sauce. You can buy all the stir fry packets from the supermarket. They're actually very high in sugar as well, and they just make your meal go way higher in calories than it needs to be. So try to watch out for dressings in food that you're buying. And even if you're adding like mayonnaise to a sandwich, just add a thin layer instead of like packing it on, because it's so high in oil and calories as well. Number 10 is fill up on high volume fibrous foods. Most people think that a couple of broccoli florets is an appropriate amount of veggies to have with their dinner, or especially when I was at university, actually, that would have tables of 4. So I studied hotel management and we lived in a hotel setting. So when you would learn each part of the hotel, like waitressing, you would waitress the rest of the school through their three meals a day. Or then you would go into the kitchen to learn about how to be a chef, and you'd be cooking for the whole school kind of thing. So when we're in the restaurant, there'd be four people and they literally fed us off $7 a day. This is what caused a lot of my digestive issues. The meat was so old and overcooked. Like, some people actually got sick because it was so old once. I think it was a hangi, which is in New Zealand. It's like the Maori way of cooking food underground. And I swear it had been 7 days and it just tasted like, it wasn't good. It didn't taste like smoke. It tasted like the bag it had been cooked in. And I swear it was about 7 days. And then after everyone knew they were still serving it, then they would shred the chicken and then put it on the top of the soup. And they kept trying to hide it because they were on such a budget to feed us. But anyway, going back to on topic, we would sit there having our meals and we'd get like a plate with like a couple of pieces of broccoli. So we'd get maybe two broccoli florets to share. And that is not your veggie intake. Half your plate should be veggies at dinner time a lot of the time. Of course, not every meal will be like that. Sometimes you'll be having like a loved Thai red curry soup with noodles and stuff. It's not going to be half veggies. Not every recipe is like that, but that's a good guide to have if you want to start eyeing up your meals without necessarily tracking everything or weighing everything. Just really, really focusing on increasing the amount of veggies you're eating. And because it's so high fiber, it will help food move through your body as well. Also provide you with lots of micronutrients for energy and for your body's functioning. A lot of people also don't know how to make veggies even taste nice. So they buy the frozen veggies and then boil it, like how we had veggies when we were a kid, which it's just so soggy and flavorless, and they don't add any herb or seasoning because it's got added sodium in it. That's just disgusting. It's not going to make you want to eat it, unless that is actually how you love veggies, and that's fine. I buy frozen ones if I'm making something like a macaroni cheese and that actually suits the meal better, or like a vegan chicken pot pie with like little bits of peas, corn, and carrot is fine and that kind of thing because it suits the meal. But generally, I stir fry things. I add a lot of ginger. I add some garlic. And I've been buying infused oils as well. You don't need to go oil free, but I bought a chili infused cooking oil, which is so delicious. And I always add a bunch of seeds to my stir fry. So a sprinkle of pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds or pine nuts make it burst with flavor, although they're a bit expensive, so I only have it as a treat. But saute that until it's crunchy, and that will honestly be a game changer. Maybe sprinkle it with a bit of nutritional yeast when you take it out of the pan. Or you can also get the Pimp My Salad cashew or hemp parmesan. You can use my code Cassie25 for a limited time, and then you can get a discount on the Pimp My Salad products online as well. They are a game changer for plating up your food or adding just different vegan specialty items that boost the flavor or texture of the meal. I love the coconut bacon one as well. That's my absolute favorite. So all in all, fibrous foods are just going to make you feel fuller, so you can feel like you're eating more but without the calories of extremely dense food items and ingredients. Number 11 is don't eat the same thing on repeat. People make this mistake because it's just easy. Like, they'll cook chicken, broccoli, rice for every meal apart from breakfast for a whole entire week and just have that on repeat. Well, number one, the best thing we can do for our gut health is eat a wide diversity of plants. We get nutrients from different vegetables, different sources of carbs. Like, instead of rice, try quinoa next time, try roast veggies next time, even try different types of rice instead of white. Maybe try brown, maybe try black rice. I've also seen red rice in the supermarket. Maybe try a chickpea pasta kind of thing. There's so many different options. It doesn't need to be just rice. I don't know why everyone just does that. And with veggies, don't just eat broccoli. Try a purple cabbage, try some silver beet, try some carrots. Like, just switch things up so that our body's gut bacteria can adjust and keep expanding, which improves our mood and our immunity as well. When it comes down to the final weeks of comp prep, a lot of people struggle with their gut health because they're eating such small amounts and often the same ingredients that they know works, but because you're on low food and then eating that on repeat, you're really narrowing down your gut bacteria of what it can handle. So then post-show, when they go and eat things they haven't had for a while or go back to eating normal, it can be a process to actually feel normal without feeling extremely bloated and struggling to digest your meals again. So eat a wide variety and choose the colors of the rainbow. Number 12 is enjoy every mouthful of treat food. So if you slip up, don't just say, oh my God, I ate this donut that I wasn't meant to have, and then I've got to go and burn off all these extra calories and go for 2 hours on the treadmill after work, and you're just stressing out about it the whole day, beating yourself up, thinking you're a horrible person. And it's just such a negative cycle to be in. So if you're having a treat food, enjoy every mouthful. Think, wow, this donut is just the best thing I've had. It's so delicious, and taste all the flavors and really be in the moment mentally when you're having it, because then that will make the craving go away because you feel satisfied, if that makes sense. Our thoughts and words become our reality. So don't think, oh my God, this food is going to make me so fat. Think, oh, this food is going to satisfy my soul. It's going to put me in a good mood. I'm going to feel really happy for the rest of the afternoon, and I'll get back on track with my healthy meals tomorrow. And I just like to think like, oh, well, this food was much needed in this moment and I deserve it, kind of thing. So be wary of your words and how you speak to yourself when you're eating as well. Number 13, lucky last, is get an air fryer. I do not know how I ever lived without one. I've had one for years now, but literally every meal is pretty much under 15 minutes. Sometimes a lot of chopped potato may take 20 minutes to get it extra crispy for two people, but generally like chuck in a vegan chicken schnitzel, some homemade potato chips while you make a little side salad with cos lettuce and croutons, and honestly every meal is so easy. It just saves so much time waiting for the oven to heat up. And how this helps with your body composition is because you're not frying things in a bunch of oil, or especially deep frying makes things actually really calorie dense. I did see a really good infographic online a while ago about Burger Urge or Burger Fuel, and they compared the normal potato chips to the healthy sweet potato chips, or they might have been carrot chips, or some kind of veggie. And because people would pick the carrot chips because it's healthy, but because it's not as dense as potato, it actually absorbs a lot more oil than the potato, meaning it was actually almost double in calories, or like a decent chunk higher than just eating the potato. So if the potato is what you want, it's better to actually go for that, unless you're actually craving the carrot and that is actually something that will make you feel good, then that's absolutely fine as well. But things can often trick us like that, like the healthy option might not be as healthy as we believe. So having an air fryer, like you're not cooking things in lots of oil or in unhealthy methods, and it's just like an extra fast oven. And another way it probably helps with your body composition is because it can be faster to make something at home than wait in a drive-thru somewhere, or like call up the takeaway store and then drive down there and pick up your order and then come home and like unpack it all. You could have had something ready in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So if you don't have one already, it's going to be a game changer. That's it for today. Don't forget, if you would like to download the PDF for free, then you can keep it on hand at all times and refer back to it whenever you like. I'll put that in the description below. If you need help with getting started with your intuitive eating journey, or if you just need some guidance around how to build your plate, it doesn't have to be no tracking at all as well. Like, we can do light tracking, which is just tracking your creating a protein goal to work towards. So you're still looking at food in a calculated way, but you don't have to weigh everything out on the bench or stress out if one of your macros is a tiny bit over. It's just about creating goals in the right kind of areas. So we're still listening to our body's needs, but still trying to optimize our performance as well, and our body's functioning for more energy, better mood, things like that. So as I mentioned at the start, I'm opening up a small handful of spaces to work with me one-on-one for 8 weeks. That will also be in the link below. And if you have any questions, don't forget, you can always get in touch at any time. Thanks again for tuning in, and stay tuned for next week.